morning, everybody. Today, we will begin with the Perek Aleph of the Tiferes Yisrael. Amen. And as we mentioned last week, of course, for the Tiferes Yisrael is about Torah. And last week in the Hakdamah, we talked a little bit about what the Maharal's main focus was on, was making sure that when a person studies Torah, they're studying it as Teras Hashem, but they never lose sight of the source. Teras Hashem Tamima Meshivas Novesh. Eidus Hashem Nemonet. Kudi Hashem Yishar. Mitzvah Hashem Bar. Yiras Hashem Tyra. Right, everything we associate with Hashem. And that is what is going to indeed create the strength of the person's connection to the Tyra, whether in terms of the effectiveness of him being able to share the Tyra, and in terms of his being able to arrive at its truth. The extent to which it is mechubar, to which it is connected to Hashem Yisbarach, that's the extent to which indeed that will be, that it will have its strength. And as we mentioned last week, the structure of the way the Maharal is going to approach the sugya of Torah in the Tiferes Yisrael is that in the first seven prakim, the first several chapters, he's going to be dealing with Torah as it is ours. And then he's going to be dealing with Torah as it is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's start now with Perek Aleph, which is going to be his discussion as Torah as it is ours. Torah as it would seem to specifically connect to us. And it's very interesting that, as we'll see, Mir Tashem, we'll take a look at this a little bit more as we go along. But the fundamental point which the Maharal makes here in his derech, in his way, with all of the bells and whistles, is made very similarly in terms of the thrust of the point by the Ramchal, not in one of his deep philosophical works, but in his work, which is read generally not as deeply, although, you know, many, like the Groh and others, said you see in it all the hidden things, the teachings of the Ramchal as well. But in the beginning of the Mesilas Yesharim, in the first parak of the Mesilas Yesharim, where he speaks the path of the just, which is taken mostly as an ethical work of practical guidance, where he speaks about Chayvas Adam Ba'ilamai, he speaks about the obligation of a person in this world, he's going to make to a certain degree the same essential point, and we will try to reference it as we go along. Okay, let's begin. We'll read a few words from the Maharal. It's okay if we do that? I know we're not supposed to ruin us inside, but it's okay. We read a few words. Okay. The creatures that Hashem created in His world, everything, every one of them functions within the world that they were created. Everything functions according to its mala, according to its level, according to its significance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem created a vast array of creatures. And everything has its level, and everything has its function. And everything is supposed to be able to function according to its level. Examples. HaShamayim Chol Tzva HaShamayim, the heavens, and all of its hosts, everything which is within it. Kulam Pa'alim, they all function. Mesavvim HaRakia, they circulate through the, so to speak, through the atmosphere, each one has its role, its function, as to where it sits within those constellations to do their thing. In the words which we say at Kiddush Levana, which by the way I think tonight is the last night for Kiddush Levana for this month, is right the idea that we say is that they are Pael Emes Shepulasa Emes, right? They accomplish on the mark with truth. Their actions are true, are to the point. Hashem created them with a specific function in mind. A very specific function, a unique function. And they spend their time on this world fulfilling that particular function. And the same thing is true, of course, of the creatures down below. The land produces its plants. And all of those plants, right? So the earth does its thing to produce the plants. The plants do their thing. They have a purpose, they have a function, and in life they accomplish it. Water does its thing to provide hydration, to nourish the land. The ruach, the wind, does its thing. everything that exists does its thing. Loi l'sayhu b'ra'am. Right? This is sort of a paraphrase of the pasuk. It says loi l'sayhu b'ra'a about the world. The world wasn't created for emptiness, for nothingness. It was created to be settled, which is a phrase which the Gemara takes very significantly. It makes it into the whole notion of, you know, pru uvu, being fruitful and multiply and filling the earth and working the earth, into a fundamental mandate of fulfilling the purpose of creation. Lo sheves, fill the earth, accomplish, do that which you were made to be able to do. At she'ein echod batel, until nothing is for naught, and everything works within the world that it was created, and everything's function is specific to it. Okay, this is a very basic and simple idea which Maharal is teaching us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created things as part of a purposeful, structured Bria, with everything being created with the faculties, with the capacity, in order to be able to fulfill its particular role. Nothing is there, so to speak, for nothing. Right? The famous Medrash about David HaMelech, right, who wondered about a couple of things. Right? He says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create? I see everything in the world, you know, has a purpose. I understand, but why did Hashem create the spider? Right? Spiders are just gross. Right? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the spiders? Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him he had a situation where he was running away from Sheol and he was hiding in a cave, and Sheol, quote unquote, just happened to choose that cave in order to go to relieve himself. And before Sheol would go to relieve himself in the cave, his secret service men went inside to case out the joint to make sure that it was clear. And they saw that the dark recesses of the cave where David HaMelech happened to be hiding, but miraculously a spider had spun its web over the entrance to that area. And they said there's no way that that could have happened. It, obviously that's, you know, right, web, you know, all filled with spider webs. Nobody's been there in ages. Nothing to worry about over there in that corner. David HaMelech had an appreciation for the spider. David HaMelech wondered about the value of insanity, until one time when David HaMelech was running away to Gass, and he was recognized by the Plishtim, and he was recognized, and he acted like a meshuganer, he acted like he was insane, and that was what saved the day for him. HaChaser Meshugaimani, the king of the Plishtim, didn't want to have anything to do with him, David or no David. Unfortunately, he had that illness in his own family, and he didn't want to have to deal with it anymore. So he was made to understand the specific purpose of everything which exists in the Bria. The Rambam says in the Pirush HaMishnayos that when the Pasuk speaks about Shlomo HaMelech, who Hashem gave him greater wisdom than anybody else that exists in the world, so he says, so the Pasuk says he was able to speak to the trees and to the plants. Okay, so he wasn't an eccentric gardener, right, that he would speak to his plants. What does it mean that he would speak to his plants? Explains the Rambam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him to understand the specific role and purpose of every plant, of everything, every bird, every animal which exists within the world. Why Hashem created this variety? Why do we need all these different kinds? And everything was there to be able to understand its place and its purpose within the world. Someday, you know, they go and the text, they go and they climb the trees in the Amazon and they clip off little leaves from all kinds of different plants that they never find, and they find what are the specific elements that are there, and they discover medicines and vitamins, all kinds of things, because everything which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world has specific capacity, and it's supposed to be able to some degree to fulfill that capacity. Says the Maharal, Pashut, simply, so now let's look at Adam. Let's look at man. And man was also created with a specific capacity. That capacity, to cut to the chase, we're going to go through some of the stepping back afterwards, but that capacity, the way we see it, is the Neshama Elokis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, he created man, on the same day, with a lot of the same raw materials and basic structure that he created all of the creatures that walk and move in the world. All Balei Nefesh HaTnua, all of the animals that exist in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them together with man on the sixth day of creation. And in fact, if you look at the Pasuk, the way the Pasuk almost makes it sound is, because when it comes to the creation of man, it just says, as we discussed this one thing with much more elaboration, we're not going to elaborate upon it today, but we discussed it once with much more elaboration earlier, I think it was in the Ber HaGoyla yet, that if you look at the Psukim there, when it comes to the creation of Adam, what does it say? Nasa Adam b'talmenu kidmusenu. We're going to make man in our image and our form. It doesn't describe, at least in the first version, there are two versions of the creation of Adam, one in Perek Aleph, on the sixth day of creation, one in Perek Beis. The first version, it doesn't describe creating almost the body of man. B'talmenu kidmusenu, according to most versions of understanding, in our image and our form, means some kind of a reference to the neshama, to the Tzelem Elohim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew the neshama, infused the neshama into the physical body of man, which was pretty common to the bodies of the animals, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the neshama into it. So every creature might have its place, every creature might have its function, every creature might have its role, and that role is suited to its specific capacity. And with Adam, we know there's no question, however you read the verses, there's no question that the specific, unique capacity of man comes from Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim. The fact that Hashem blew, infused into man, a divine soul. So in that context, we have to see what becomes the purpose, what becomes this new capacity which man has in order to be able to fulfill his function. Now you know, just because he has it, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be able to use it. You know, you might have had a computer, right? You had a computer, whatever it was, I don't know, it's hard to remember these names anymore. You had this like nice 486 computer, right? And what did you use it for? You used it for your email and for your word processing and for your spreadsheets, right? Use it for all of those things. And then, you know, whatever it was, it gave up the ghost eventually, right? Or somebody made you feel like, how can you have a nebby computer like that? Now you got to get a new one, right? You got to get an upgrade. So you went ahead and you got an upgrade. And what do you do on the upgraded computer? You do your email, you do your word processing, you do your spreadsheet, right? You do exactly the same thing. Now, this computer right now would be capable, actually, of building a rocket ship to send to the moon, right? Who knows what kind of things you're going to be able to do with all this stuff that they did right now. But to you, you know, you're a pasha d'yid, right? It makes no difference. Right? You're just still doing pretty much exactly the same things that you did with it before. Just because you have the capacity, it doesn't mean necessarily that you utilize the capacity. Now, you could say, you know something, all I needed it was for this, but, you know, what can I do? I go to the store, I can't buy anymore. You know, I can't buy the 486 anymore. This is all that they're going to sell me. So I have no use for it, I have no interest in it. It was built, yeah, for other purposes that other people are going to use, but it's not there for me. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates us with a Tzelem Elohim, we can't opt out that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates us with this special quality, with this special capacity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with those options, so we will be able to exercise those options, so we'll be able to use them. That's what we were created for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that tachlis in order to be able to utilize it. So if we're going to simply use just the basic equipment, we're going to use it for just the basic functions, which we didn't need this Neshama Elohim for, then obviously we are not there utilizing the purpose of our pu'ula, utilizing the purpose of that which it is, which we were built to be able to do. So that's the mechayev. That's the first, that's the great demand which we have to some degree have upon ourselves as we approach this, when we're trying to figure out what on earth we're supposed to do. We have to figure out what is indeed our unique capacity. Now here the Maharal is going to speak, what we're speaking about here is in general terms of human beings. We know, of course, that the same thing is true for us as individuals. When a person tries to figure out, okay, so what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do for a living? What am I supposed to do in Torah? What am I supposed to do in mitzvahs? What am I supposed to do in chesed, in involvement in the world? So always, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do exactly the same thing. Like the Chavetz Halvava says, person's trying to choose what they're supposed to do for a living. So the way they look, the way they have to approach it is they have to look and say, what specific talent did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give me? What specific interest did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give me? He created me in certain specific, unique ways, and those are the things which He made me to be able to do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all kinds of umnias, all kinds of crafts and careers out there in the world, and created people with an inclination and a talent for a specific one, or for a specific group of types of jobs. And that's the way a person's supposed to see, because you have to understand, we have to understand, we are created, and we're created therefore for a specific goal, for a specific purpose, and seeing the capacities which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us is the way we're going to be able to figure out what we're supposed to do. So we do that individually, but we also have to do that as human beings. So the things that we have in common with the rest of the creatures, with all the animals and everything else, okay, of course that's part of our life. That's not going to be the tachlis of our life. That's not going to be the realization of what we were supposed to be. The be-all-you-can-be version of the army of Hashem. So therefore, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to figure out, so what is it that this specific capacity, this neshama, this elokus, this godliness, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed in the human beings, what that capacity opens us up to be able to indeed have. And so, obviously, the conclusion is that the Torah is there to tap that specific potential. Okay? Now, before we get to how the Maharal is going to work past this, right? Go on with this. I want to indeed take the moment to read you the parallel passage that we have in the Ramchal, in the Hakdama to the Derech Hashem. This is the Masil Yisharim, excuse me. Okay, this is towards the end of the first Perek, not the actual end, I guess it's around the midpoint, but closer to the end than to the beginning of the Hakdama of the Masil Yisharim. And basically, if you remember, in the introduction to Masilas Yesharim, he says that the most important basis for everything moving forward is going to be that a person has to have his eye on the goal. What's your obligation in this world? What should be your goal? And Mabotei u'megamosei b'chol asher olam al kol yimei chayav. What's your goal and your destination in everything which you do in life? So his thing was that a person was created li'saneg al Hashem to have this pleasure from Hashem, which the main place for that is not in this world, but the main place for that, the ultimate place where the person will have that pleasure, is in the Olam Haba. Okay. So he goes towards the end of the parak and he says, "V'tir be'emes shekvar lo yuchal shum bal seichel lahamin shetachlus bri adam hu matzav ha'olam hazeh." No intelligent person who looks at the matter clearly can believe, if they believe that there's a creator, and a purposeful creator, which is a premise that we're going to be working with here. Right, we don't have to start with that. We're all going to be working with that premise. So we understand that the purpose of man could not be, a person couldn't believe that it's for the situation in Olam Hazeh. And he uses two ways in order to point this out. Why Baal Seichel couldn't believe this? First of all, he says, because if at the end of life you're going to simply measure the experience of this world. And what he means by this clearly is this worldly experiences of this world. If a person was created to have the same kinds of pleasures and enjoyments that, let's say, the animals and so on and so forth would be able to have. So let's make a balance sheet of those kinds of physical things that a person has in life. And he says, this can get a little depressing, okay? But if a person lives 70 years, maybe 80 years, and the kama mine tsar v'chaloim v'machayim v'tiros, person suffers all kinds of illness, yisurim, distractions, all kinds of things that come up, and after that he's gone, right? So make the balance sheet. That makes sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the person just, to chaperein a few really good ice cream sundaes. Right, a few great rounds of golf or tennis or whatever excites you, or to be able to drive in something nice for a little while, it says doesn't sound like it. Okay, fine. But the loyite, and this is what we're talking about here. Ella, shim tachlis b'riyas ha'adam haya l'tzayir ha'elam hazeh. If a person was created just to be involved in the matters of this world, v'haya tzarech mipnei zeh shenet tenupach bay neshama kol kach hashuva v'el yayna. Why on earth does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to give him a neshama, a soul, that is so significant and so sublime, so lofty, that's beyond that of the angels? That neshama, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us as an essential part of ourselves, as the distinguishing part of ourselves, that neshama doesn't enjoy those things just simply of this world.
So that would be, again, like, you know, the guy has this machine, and it does everything exactly that he's doing with it already, you know, so to speak. It all does it, right? Why does he need a new one? Why does he need one with more firepower? Why does he need one with this extra capacity? This does everything. Everything that you need it to do, it does. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into us a neshama shehi min ha'alyayinim. It must be that, therefore, the purpose of the person is to find those things which are beyond the simple capacity of the creatures that don't have that neshama. And that's the otherworldly things, as they will exist in that world, as well as they would exist in this one as well. So it's simply the argument of capacity. If Hashem gave us these profound capabilities, sensitivities, and so on, He doesn't want us simply to live the pedestrian life of those who don't have that. That's the fundamental argument here of the Maharal. And again, just like sort of to cut to the chase, and therefore he says that's Torah. And that's why Chazal used the expression when they say, the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, V'ata ben Adam, Adam Atem, you are Adam. So the Gemara says this very radical thing that sounds extremely, extremely, you know, maybe racist, whatever, that Atem Kriyim Adam, you are called Adam. The nations of the world are not called Adam. They're not called Adam, right? So, you know, translated, right, you know, simply one would say they are called subhuman, right? Which is not what it means. Which is not what it means. Right? The Gemara learns from it a halacha regarding going into an ohel, right? The Pasuk says, Adam ki yomus ba'ohel. Right? So this is the sheath, I think, of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that he says that only a Jew, if you go into the same building as he, do you become tameh. An akum is not called Adam, a non-Jew is not called Adam, and therefore if you go into a building with him, you don't become Tameh, he's still Tameh. Right? He's still a person who touches, comes in contact, but not Tumas Oel. No Adam Kiyomus for Oel rules apply to an Akum. So what's the idea? You're called Adam, they're not called Adam. So the idea is because the exercising of the specific potential which was put into man, the potential of the Neshama to its fullest, to maximize the Tzelem Elokim, which is why man was created, only the Jewish people have assumed that as their mandate. Only the Jewish people were the people who were Makabel the Torah. We were the only ones who took the Torah, which is the Kodesh Brichu, right? That's the Rabbonu Shel Olam. You know that song we sing, you know, on Simchas Torah, sometimes, you know, the Shavuos, right? Yisrael, the Yairaisa, the Kodesh Brichu Chadu. The Jewish people and the Torah and the Rabbeinu Shem is one. It's actually a composite of a couple of different statements of the Zohar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one with the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. So that way, we can become one with Him. What does that mean? The Torah is there to maximize, to utilize the Tzelem Elokim, to bring that divine capacity which we have within ourselves out, to make it live, to make it strong, to fulfill it. A person can go through life and neglect the divine portion, to neglect that piece of themselves. It's a constant struggle. It's the essential struggle of a human being. Klal Yisrael took it upon themselves to be, in the language of the Pasuk, B'nei Elokim, instead of B'nai Sa'adam, to be the divine creatures, instead of just going after the being driven by the physical capacity of ourselves. And that's what Torah is there to develop. That's what Torah is there to respond to cultivate. The neshama can use the Torah. The neshama has its expression in the absorption of the Torah. That's the fundamental piece of this. That's what's going to be special about it. Okay? Yes. Pause for a breath and for any comments or questions.
And Sharon Bitzfilim, I think, applies this capacity comment in the context of Tefillin and uses the metaphor of a car. You buy a car, and you only think it has one gear. You know, it's first gear, it's a car with four gears. And we start out with a certain level of knowing how to daven as young kids. And if we never recognize that really there's a second, third, and fourth gear in the car, you're always driving the car at 10, 15 miles an hour.
Right.
Same kind of capacity. point.
It's a generational thing, computers, cars, you know.
Sorry, Bruce.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. Same.
So the Torah is the owner's manual for the spirit. But
good way to say it.
Other people in the world endeavor to improve their spiritual connection and
correct.
But if they're not tapped into the Torah, then they're just off on some wild path.
There's not an absolute, you know, miss completely. They won't have the same thing without the Torah, because the Torah is the owner's manual, which was written by the manufacturer, right? Really, that's exactly what it is. That's the way the Kuzari. That's where Rav Yehuda, he doesn't use the term owner's manual, but that's where Rav Yehuda Levi explains it in the Kuzari. Mm-hmm. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the human being with certain purpose, with certain capacities, and then he gave the Torah to tell you exactly how to address those capacities, exactly how to use them and utilize them right. Mm-hmm. So somebody can go and say, okay, look, you know, I see this thing, right? There's this tool over here, or there's this computer. We lost the owner's manual. We don't know what to do. But, you know, if you're clever, you're going to go, you're going to sit, you're going to go try and reconstruct. You might be able to come up with some stuff, mm-hmm. but it's not going to compare to the one who created it with the capacities, knows exactly what it's made to do, mm-hmm. and therefore is going to be able to tell you without hit or miss, and filling in all of the blanks, on a whole different level. On a whole different level.
Okay.
Yeah.
A comment, a question. As far as you said before, that each person has to find their own tachlis in their own world. Just, I remember a Gershon poem where Thomas Shoshani points out that it says, what is a person's purpose in this world? Ba'alamo, in his world, Lashon, the prophet, and I guess each person in their own way. They could have said, mm-hmm. you know, I always thought that, like,
very good.
To that.
Very
so,
good.
And the other thing, I just have a question. If we're saying that the Torah is the owner's manual, and I don't know if this is answerable, but it happens to be that you see, like, Yidden who are not necessarily keeping the Torah, who have an incredible capacity in the world. They reach certain heights in their fields all over the place. I'm just wondering, so is there an aspect of this that it was just imprinted into the neshama that you didn't have certain capacities as even if they don't touch the Torah, and that came from years ago?
Okay, so with Mir Tashem, as we go along here today, we will talk about that. There are two elements which we're going to try to develop here a little bit. With the Maharal, as we go along, one is going to be the idea that, okay, well, we have this capacity, but you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's say for the plants or for the moon and the stars, he made it pretty easy, right? He created them with the capacity and they just do it. Mm-hmm. They do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with the capacity, and it can go undiscovered, unutilized, underutilized, you know, certainly. So, you know, that's a distinction which has to be addressed. Another thing which has to be addressed is the uniqueness of human beings and their capacity only expressed in the spiritual realm, which is, I think, what you are speaking to. So those are two issues which Mir Tashem we're going to talk about here as we go along. And if we would be following the Seder of the Ramchal, we'd be getting right of the Maharal, exactly, we'd be getting right to your question right now. We usually try to just repackage it in the way that it flows for us. Or in other words, for me. Okay. Let's just finish a little bit here on this issue of the Atem Kuyim Adam, which is really the end of the Perek. But you know, touching on the themes which Maral's gonna do. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, and again we took this opportunity. You know, the way the Ramchal writes about it in the Derech Hashem is that very simply, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam with all of this tremendous capacity. He created him, he put him in Gan Eden, and then what happened was, Adam HaRishon made a choice which did not require his spiritual capacity, the opposite. He went after the attractive, physical tree of knowledge, the Eitz Hadas, which was to get another part of himself to be the driver, right? Which part of himself? The animal part, right? That's why the snake was speaking to him in that. The snake was seducing him into that. That was the behemah trying to connect to man and bring man down to its level so that he could marry Chava, right? That's what that's the meaning behind. That's when we discussed the issue more elaborately. That's the meaning behind the snake suddenly talking to people. Since when does that happen? And the snake wants to marry Chava. You ever heard? I mean, I know some pretty lousy shadchanim, but even then they never came up with something as off base as that, right? But the idea was that he was trying to say, don't just stop distinguishing yourself. Don't make yourself different, right? You're supposed to be. We want you to be like us. So Adam Rishon gets chased out of Gan Eden. He gets chased out of that special position. And the way the Ramchal describes it is then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sat and he waited. Who is going to be trying to get back? Who is going to be trying to get back? Who is going to be trying to restore the Madrega Elokis of a person? And he waited and he waited. And until he closed, so to speak, the open enrollment period in getting back for the nations was closed at a time called the Dor HaFlaga. At the time when Hashem divided up the world into nations, at the Tower of Babel, that time of dispersion, there was one person who was making his way back, who made it his life's goal to make his way back, and that was Avram Avinu, and he became therefore the father of Klal Yisrael. He became the Adam who was placed in Gan Eden, and everybody else, as nations, they missed it. Of course, a person from one of those nations who comes to join the Jewish people. So then we still have that option. That option still exists. And Chazal see that person as having the capacity. Well, in a certain sense, it could be like a cell. Every guy has the ability to be Magaya. Every non-Jew has the ability, technically speaking, to be Magaya. The ones who do, with the genuineness, the ones who do, so the Gemara says, their souls were also at Har Sinai. Meaning that if there's any such thing as a built-in capacity, a variation of capacity, of spiritual capacity amongst people, they've got it too.
The rest of them is part of their job to distract us.
To destroy us?
Distract.
I'm sorry. I didn't sure which English word you were in mispronouncing that.
My wife just doesn't speak Hebrew, but she understands my English.
We'll deal with that. Amir Tashem sometime. Okay? They have a tachlis too. But certainly they bailed out to some degree of what could have been a greater one. So to convert. The act of conversion. Person who converts with a genuineness, we say their souls at our Sinai. Right? We see that they, whatever spiritual capacity we have, they have. That's the mainstream opinion of Chazal, of the Rishonim that we expect. That's the Rambam's opinion, that's the Ramchal's opinion, that's Maral's opinion, that they have that same spiritual capacity is revealed as a result that they have that same spiritual capacity. Right. However, but he explains, and here just quick snapshot, because he's going to develop this more in the upcoming Prakim. But the Maral thing is, he says, so you have the one of Klal Yisrael, the one nation of Klal Yisrael, and the nations of the world are 70 umos, 70 nations. Why? Because the 70, well, 70 is a multiple of 7, and 7 is the Olam HaTeva. It's this world, the physical world, its number is 7, right? The 6 directions plus the center, right, is 7. 8 is the connection to another world. That's Me'al HaTeva. That's one of the famous numerical structures of the Maharal, right? That's why, right, Chanukah is Shmoina, because it's Nes, it's beyond Teva. That's why Mila, which is to forge the connection between the physical person and the spiritual, is going to be on the 8th day. And that's why, Kabbalah Satayra was after 7 weeks of 7. Now you get into the 8th week. That's the 50th. And it's the same thing over here, right? Once you get past the Shivan, past the 70, the next one, that's going into the 8th, that's going to be where Klal Yisrael is. It's that kind of an idea, that it's exercising this capacity which HaKadosh Baruch Hu put within the person, which is from another world, which is going to be beyond. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the nations of the world and he offered them the Torah, they said, right, they weren't interested. They weren't interested, right? Besides for, as he goes on to explain, which we're not going to get into, Esav and Yishmael and their specific resistance, their specific objection, but they just didn't want it. Right? That capacity, it seems, as nations was not there. Right? He makes the same thing, by the way, the Sheva Mitzvahs. like the seven mitzvahs that all the Bnei Noach have. Those seven mitzvahs are, yeah, of course, they're live the right life, live the good life, but it's still very much within this world, to transcend it, right? The turbo, you know, to go to real connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you got to go beyond the seven. Okay, so that's this aspect of Yisrael B'Maisayla. But now we have these two other issues to address, which, again, in our order, first one is going to be, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this, however, create people with different capacities, with a question whether they're even going to fulfill their capacity, right? For the plants, he made it easy. For the animals, he made it easy. For the sun, moon, and the stars, he made it easy. For us, it's a potential that we have that we may never, many people may never actualize. So how is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it this way? Says the Maral, a very simple answer. Of course, we have the most basic simple answer, which is Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give us free choice. If we're going to be the creatures with reward and punishment, you can't have reward and punishment without free choice. Ramchal gives his own approach, right? A very magnificent approach, which we may have discussed at other times, which is we have to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's independent, self-made. You have to be independent, self-made. You can't just be a creature of Hashem. So while your body is a creature of Hashem and your soul is a creature of Hashem, but how you do with both of them, what you make of yourself, that's your creation. So you become B'tzelem Elokim. You're like in the image of God. Okay. Maral says a different thing. And this language of the Maral and this approach of the Maral, I think, would resonate, especially those of you who learned with us the Netzach Yisrael, especially in the last sections. He spoke very, very much in these terms. He said like this, very pashut. Because this world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created is the Olam HaTeva. It's the physical world. It's the world of nature. In the world of nature, the natural facilities, the natural capacities, the physical capacities, yeah, they all naturally come to fruition within the physical world. That's the way it would be. That's the way it would make sense. But the spiritual elements, this world is not their natural place. And therefore, to assume that the spiritual capacities will be automatically achieved and automatically fulfilled, no. The neshama, in the language of Chazal, is like a ger, is like a stranger in this world. Right? In the famous Chazal, which the Ramchal brings in that section, which I was reading to you from the Mesillas Yesharim, it's like, you know, a princess, you know, marrying the farmer, you know, where, you know, okay, you know, what do I do over here exactly? Right? She won't know what to do. Right? You put her in the palace, right? And all the royalty, you know, just comes out naturally, easily, because it's in its environment. It works there. In this environment, not so sure. You got to work, you got to struggle to make it work, to make it be able to fit. The nature of placing the neshama as the last creation, so to speak, right? Adam is the last creation. After he created this whole physical world, it was not going to be a natural shoo-in. That's the idea. Maybe indeed, to a certain degree, that's the tachlis, to make this world into a place where the spiritual is hamish, is at home, it's its natural environment. That's the definition of Yemais HaMashiach, of post-Yemais HaMashiach. But otherwise not. Remember how the Maral explained, like just some examples, just an illustration, how the Maral explained the Gemara that describes Mashiach. You'll find him like outside of the city, sitting there like a Metzaira, thick, right, and so on and so forth. Like, what does that mean, says the Gemara? Because since the Mashiach is defined by its spiritual strength, Bechlal seems to be not at home, not successful, not thriving in its material aspects, in the material things of this world. So, yes, the physical things that Hashem created, and He puts them into the physical environment, boom, they thrive to capacity. The spiritual is finding its bearings, is trying to get oriented within this world. So it's not a shoo-in, it's not natural at all. Yes.
I was just thinking from the, I guess, the opposite perspective of, I guess, everything in this world being kind of like a microcosm or a mushel for everything in Olam and Shemayim and stuff, that you know, you have to work hard to get Torah, but you also, if you want to be strong, you have to work hard to be strong. You have to exercise. If you want to be proficient at, like, building, you know, cars, the more practice and more effort you put into it. So it seems like there's a similarity between them. And even in this world, if you don't put the energy and effort in, you know, it's going to be unobtainable.
Absolutely.
Further.
Yeah.
When somebody passes away, one of the ways that their soul leaves the body could be described as like cotton pulled through thickets or something.
Right, thorn bushes, yeah.
So wouldn't that be an example of the spirit really being at home in this world?
Yeah. The spirit could become at home in this world to its detriment, where it won't be at home anymore in the other world. Whereas what you're describing there, the Gemara says that the difference between the death of the righteous and the death of Rishoyim is that the death of the righteous, when their soul leaves their body, it's like pulling a hair out of a glass of milk. Kemashchil beinita mechelba. Where it just glides right out. But the Rishoyim, to pull the soul out of this world, is like trying to pull a clump of wool out of a thorn bush. Right? Where you're going to pull and you're going to yank and it's not going to come, and even when it comes, pieces stay behind and you got to go pull it out. What does that mean? You're taking the soul back to where it came from. You're taking the soul back to where its natural environment was. Right? Where it should be at home. And it doesn't want to go home. Right? Remember Patty Hearst?
SLA.
Yes, SLA. Right? You got to remember. Right? Patty Hearst was the daughter of Randolph Hearst, one of the wealthiest, most powerful people in the United States of America, the owner of the Hearst newspaper chain. Right? And she was kidnapped by the Symbionese Liberation Army, right? This group of radical Meshugoim, right? Which by now I think are in government. But the I'm sorry. Excuse me, I'm sorry. They were crazy. They were like a real, real radical fringe group. She was kidnapped by them. It was a huge, huge story. And after, I don't remember what period of time, this group, which used to do things, amongst other things, besides their ideological thing, they would go and they would rob banks. And on a video camera, on a primitive video camera bank, they see a bank robbery, and who's participating in the thing? Patty Hearst. What happened? Right, she came from a nice, normal place, you know, so to speak. She came from the establishment and everything else. She was kidnapped by them, and then she became a part of them. She didn't want to go back. She adopted, you know, she was whatever, brainwashed, whatever it was. She was taken over by this thing. And that's the danger which we have. As the neshama comes into this world, the neshama can adopt the same thing. Right? They're beautiful. The famous mashal from the Dubin HaMagid about, you know, a person who goes, who was sent on he heard about this faraway country where there were diamonds in the streets. Diamonds in the streets, right? Like America, right? There were diamonds in the streets, yeah. Like dust. And he gets on the boat, he tells his family, I heard about this place, I'm going to travel on this boat to this place where there are diamonds in the streets, and I'm going to come back with diamonds, and our poverty is going to be ended. We're going to be rich. And his wife and children, they send him off with great, great blessings. And he goes on the boat, and he travels from here to there, travels for weeks over the high seas, and he arrives at the place, and sure enough, he gets off the boat. I mean, as he's approaching the place, it's like brilliant. There are diamonds every place, and so on and so forth. And he gets off the boat, and he's running around, and he's packing his pockets with diamonds, and they're like, people are looking at, you know, the locals are looking at him. She's like, what are you doing? He says, diamonds. They're diamonds. You know, diamonds are dust. It's nothing. You have no idea what this is. This is diamonds. This is amazing stuff. You know, and so on and so forth. And meanwhile, he has to stay there for a period of time till the boat goes back. And he stays there, and he lives there for a while, and so on and so forth. And slowly but surely, diamonds can become like dust. And he forgets it. And you see there in this place, in fact, dust is like diamonds. There, you know, when a person gets an engagement ring, they get like this nice little this white gold thing with a clump of caked dust, right in the middle of it. That was what they would get. You know, dust was a precious. They didn't have dust there. They had diamonds, but they didn't have dust, and they would use dust instead. And he's there for a while, and slowly but surely, right, this is the way the Dubin HaMagid tells the parable, right? He's trying to save up enough diamonds to get some dust, right? And it, like, his whole mindset changes, and finally, when he's able to go back on his boat. Right, when he gets a ride back home, he comes home, and he comes to his wife, and he says, I'm not going to believe what I brought. And he opens up a bag, and it's full of dirt. It's full of dust. So he says, what did you do? Right, and he gets there, and he says, oh my gosh, how disoriented I got. And the way he says, luckily, he looks around, he finds, like, in his shoes, you know, in the hem of his trousers, and he finds a couple of loose diamonds that he brought back. So, you know, like, you get disoriented. That's what Chazal are describing. The tzaddik's neshama comes down into this world and remains very, very oriented to the Olam Haba. Yeah, it's in this world, but it knows what's what. And so it goes, when it gets time to go back to that world, it's not a problem. Right? Sometimes the neshama comes down to this world and gets taken over. So that's exactly what we're talking about. This world is not the natural habitat for the neshama. And sometimes it could take the neshama and confuse it, such that the neshama is not really anymore even comfortable with itself, even aware to a great degree of itself, of these principles which will make it work. Okay. So I think that's a very significant and profound approach to the. I mean, it's not, you know, you could say, okay, so why does Hashem have to create the world that way? You still have to answer the question of Bechira. But Maharal is explaining the pnimius of how Bechira works. The pnimius, the inner nature of how Bechira works, is because this is a natural world for the physical things, which therefore come easy. It's not a natural world for the spiritual things. That's why we have to struggle to make them take hold. But then we have the other question, which is, so how about, maybe arguably, there are all kinds of other things which man uniquely does. Right? You could talk about the profound, special impact that Jews have had over the worlds of technology and science and knowledge and everything else. But let's go more basically and say, well, how about man and the kinds of things that only man can do? Why do you say that man was created specifically for the spiritual capacities as they are going to be exercised in Torah, the learning of Torah, the practice of Torah, etc.? Maybe man's special capacities are to be exercised in skyscrapers or bridges or computers, or kokosh cake, right? When was the last time you saw a bear eating kokosh cake, right? They don't know how to make it like that, right? A cow, right, munches on the grass. A human being gets to do things which are far more sophisticated. When was the last time a kitten got its grandmother to knit it a sweater? Right? Human beings do things, we develop things with unique human ingenuity. Maybe that's the uniqueness of a human being. Okay, so, well, that's really not so much of a question, right? Because you'll say, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man with a tzelem elokim, with a divine thing, so just to have a warmer coat, just to have a more delicious piece of bread, right? Just to have something like that, you know, that's what it's going to be all about. Okay. No, we can say that, and that will be true. That will be absolutely true. The Maharal goes like just a step further in developing this, and we'll talk a little bit about a different aspect which Chazal tell us, where this is a very important and a subtle thing. The way Maharal says it is like this. He says, look, it can't be that. It just can't be that. Why? Because in truth, he says, that's a bidyeved. That's not an ideal, that man should have to be involved in those things at all. When Hashem created man and put him in Gan Eden, was man needing to worry about his food, about his clothing, about his shelter, about bridges and skyscrapers? The way Chazal describe it is that Adam Arishan was there, and the Malachi Hashoras, the angels, were roasting for him his meat and filtering for him his wine. Oh, he had refined things. It wasn't just that he was eating only raw fruits and vegetables. He had it all. He had everything which he needed. Right? We won't talk exactly about his wardrobe, because there are all kinds of issues around that part, right? But Adam Arishon in Gan Eden was completely and totally taken care of. By the way, not different from, I mean, in its own way, not different from what we had in the Midbar, right? Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided us with the food, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided us with the clothing, right? With the clothing which we were wearing when we came in, he made it grow with us, he made it shrink with us, he made it, you know, whatever it was that we needed, and the shelter, of course, right? The Anane HaKavod and everything else, right? We weren't busy using our human ingenuity to take care of our physical needs, which really, of course, is the point, part of the point, which is made in the Mishnah at the end of Maseches Kiddushin, where the Mishnah speaks about choosing a career. And the Mishnah says, you know, one of the Tanoim over there says, that Ein Anius, right, Rav Shimon Rav Elazar says, he said, right, I quote here, the Maral quotes here, I never saw a deer who was processing dried fruit, right, which was a common thing. People grew things, you know, or dried produce. They grew things, so they have to lay it out in the field to dry out before they put it in for long-term storage. Right, it's food that lasts for a while. I never saw a lion who was a porter, right, driving a UPS truck. I never saw a shul, a fox, that was a storekeeper, right? Although some of us might feel differently, right? But we may have seen a storekeeper who was a fox, but we never saw a fox who was a storekeeper. So but they make a parnasa. Shalai b'tzar, for them it comes easy. So why is it that we, who clearly have a higher goal in life, they're created in this world to serve us, says the Mishnah. And they get by so easy. We're created to serve the brunch and we don't get by so easy. Why is it that way? So the answer which he gives is because, look, we distorted our ways, so we cut off our parnasa. We cut off our natural sustenance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to take care of us. You know, when the animals have their stuff, you know, it's for them, life is a perpetual Gan Eden. It's a perpetual Gan Eden. You know, it's there, it comes easy. They don't have to go through, excuse me, the hell of choosing a career, right? Of trying to find the right boss, of trying to find the right place to work or the right business environment, of getting training and schooling and everything else, right? By the second day of the bird's life, it's digging up the same worms, delicious worms, that, you know, that somebody would be doing with a graduate degree in wormology. It's there, it's done. Misparnasim shalai b'tzar, it's there for them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to them. What happens is, we cut off our natural source of sustenance. And now we end up using all of these efforts in order to be able to get what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to just give us. So says the Maral, framed that way, can you tell me that the tachlis, that the purpose of a person is to use his ingenuity to address the needs of human beings? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have rather taken care of all of those things for us by himself? HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have rather had us in a paradise kind of existence where none of these things would have even been issues and necessary, and then what would we have done? Obviously there was something else that was the real goal. And this really speaks to a very basic chazal, which the Maral doesn't happen to quote right here, but a very basic chazal, so Gemara, I think it's the Gemara in Pesachim, where the Gemara says that when Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, right, the Kaitz V'dar HaTzmiach, he told him about how his life was going to change, how the earth wasn't going to produce its bounty so easily for man. Exactly what that Mishnah is speaking about. And he says it's going to produce thorns and thistles. You're going to have to struggle. You're going to have to work the land. Land's going to be, so to speak, cursed. It's not going to cooperate with you so well. And then it says, V'yachalta Eitz HaSadeh, you're going to eat the grass of the field. So the Gemara says, so when Adam HaRishon heard this, he started crying. Tears started flowing down his face. Why? Because he says, look at that. Me and my donkey are going to eat out of the same feed bag. My donkey goes and munches on the grass. I'm going to eat grass. I really did it. I really blew it. I ate from the tree of knowledge. I listened to the snake. And I just became like one of them. I became one of the animals. Oh my goodness. What happened? What have we done? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then says, no, you won't be the same. V'zeas apecha toichal lechem. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. You're not going to eat raw grass. You're not going to eat raw wheat, true stalks from a field. You're going to take it. You're going to transform it into bread. Only human beings will do that. Only human beings can do that. Adam HaRishon felt better. He was still going to be different. In other words, yes, human capacity gets used in different directions. Human capacity, the wisdom of a person to be able to invest, you know, to go to develop something, not to just have it the way it is, but to develop things, gets used in the material world as well. Now that's part of the taste. because you know the whole notion of being mature and indeed of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very much to understand the value of investment where things go hard for a while, but in the end they yield results. What did we say yesterday in Mizmar Shili Em HaShabbos? You know, the Rishonim, they spread up like the grass, right? But the tzaddik, it's like the palm tree. It takes a long time. It takes a long time. You don't get the results right away. If you want instant gratification, right? So then what you're going to get is going to be very, very, very limited. So we invest for the spiritual world. But we even have this notion of investing for the material world. A human being is going to put in work. By the sweat of your brow, you'll be able to eat bread. You're going to be able to have something. That's an exercise of human capacity. Now, it's such an interesting thing. You say, well, you ask the question, maybe that's what man is about. So we have two basic reasons why we say why man is not about that. Because in the end, if all it yields is a piece of bread, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to create a neshama in order to enjoy a piece of bread. That's one thing. The second thing is, as the Maharal said, that Hashem really wants to take care of this stuff for us. So to say he gave us this capacity just so we should be able to do this, no, forget about it. So we have a capacity. Right? We have a capacity. And we're going to use it. A special human capacity, a special seichel, the special foresight, a power which is not completely distant from the power of the neshama. And we'll use it and we'll exercise it. But we can use it and exercise it on this level, or we can use it and exercise it on that level. We can use it for Teich HaLechem, or we can use it for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us to be able to use it for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not reduce us such that if we wouldn't have Torah, we wouldn't be anything. We would be mamish a behema, mamish an animal. No. We would be definitely more sophisticated. And sometimes, as you could say, maybe, the greater the neshama, even when the neshama, the capacity of the neshama, even when the neshama is misguided and doesn't understand its real purpose, its real capacity, perhaps the greater its residual capacity for other things. You know, the power of the intellect to go and to change the world in material sense, which maybe you would say that Jews, you know, have a disproportionate impact on those things. Maybe. Maybe it's, again, part of the same expression. You see when HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognized the failure of mankind as a whole to use the neshama for the great things, he didn't remove human capacity. It just can be channeled for the ideal things, and it can be channeled for things which are less than what we were created for. Just want to conclude with a Mishnah, which perhaps says this most concisely. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It's a teaching of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzela. The man is precious. Man was created. B'Tzela Melokim, the divine image. Man is special from all creatures. Chiba Yaseira Naidas Loi Shenivra B'Tzela. And this special quality of man, Hashem let him know. As it says, Ki B'Tzela Melokim Oses Adam. That's a pasuk which is not just a narrative in the Torah. It's a pasuk which Hashem said when he spoke to Noach. We never find Hashem telling Adam that he's a Tzelem Elokim. Right? When Hashem spoke to Noach, he said, a person who kills a human being will be killed. Why? Because Hashem made man a Tzelem Elokim. So he made man understand that man has this divine image. And that's special. Now that speaks to what we were talking about in the beginning, which is the 486 to the, you know, the upgrade to whatever we're up to right now. Right? Right? The guy might have it, but if he doesn't know what to do with it, he doesn't know that he has the capacity, it may lay dormant. So not only did Hashem give us the capacity, and we might stumble upon it and discover it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu let us know man is in the divine image. And by the way, most of the world today still knows that man was created in the divine image. Right? Most of the world today knows that man was created in the divine image. So we know that. And therefore, maybe we have a greater chance to utilize that divine image. Human being is different. Human being is special. So some will say, God is a creator. Man can be a creator. We can create bridges. We can create skyscrapers. We can create medications. We create all of these things. It's true. It's true. Adam can create those things. There's a part of that creative nature, that seichel, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into man. Okay, but that's stage one. And that part of the mission is about every person in the world. Next says the Mishnah, Chavivim Yisrael. The Jewish people are precious. Why? Shenikru banim lamakom, because they're called Hashem's children. And Chibu Yisrael Noidaslem, Shenikru banim lamakom. And Hashem let them know that. He said to them, Banim atem Hashem alekechav. You are children to Hashem, your God. Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed in the name of Hashem, you are children of Hashem. What does that mean? You're different than everybody else. You're different than anybody else. You are the children of Hashem. We discussed once, again, I don't remember when, right? I think maybe it was in Netzach Yisrael. We discussed once this idea, that it's not even just that we're the oldest child of Hashem, like Hashem said at Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's that pasuk that says, only you are children of Hashem. In Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem told Paro, the children are my firstborn son. Makes them like everybody's Hashem's children. We're just special. Spiritual capacity. But after Matan Torah, Hashem says, you are the children, you are only the children. Rashi says in Kriya Shema, that when it says, Vishinantum Vanecha, you should teach it to your children, that refers not just to children, but to Talmidim, to students. How do we know that it refers to students? Because you see that students are called children. Why? Because Hashem calls us His children. Which means what? Because He gave us the Torah. Right? That's what the Rashi says. He taught us Torah. Right? He taught us Torah, so He calls us His children. We became Hashem's only children, and that's how the Mishnah concludes. Chaviv and Yisrael shenit lam kli chemda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Jewish people are precious because Hashem gave them His most precious tool, the tool which He created the world with. Right? And He told us it, as it says, ki lekachtev nasati lechem, which is the Torah. So what does the Mishnah say? Every human being is precious and has the Tzelem Elokim. But Klal Yisrael is extra precious. We have the Tzelem Elokim used to the fullest. We are the children of Hashem. A child resembles his parent. How? Because He gave us the Torah. The Torah is that which will maximize the Tzelem Elokim. The Torah is that where we're going to be using our capacity to the fullest. Every human being has special capacity, and they will use it to go beyond the animals, right? Unless they really try hard and attend the Preakness. But the human being that's given the Torah is not just going to maximize human potential in a material sense, but he's going to maximize it way, 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 way beyond. Way, way, way beyond. Way beyond. That's the idea here. So this is Perek Aleph, where the Maral defines Torah for man to satisfy that capacity, to utilize that capacity of a human being created with Tzelem Elokim.